Welcome back to the Broadway Block. On today's episode, we got the All-Star Game happening in Toronto this week. And we got ourselves a great guest, Andy Francis. How are you today?
How's it going? You always know when you're brought in for All-Star break that they really just need to fill the hours. Like, we just need someone to get us to next week. We got the All-Star Game coming up. I guess maybe I'm the right guy since I kind of consider myself more of an entertainer than a sports person, so I'll be the right guy.
We tried to get this done a while ago, but it just so happens that now we have a lot of time, like you mentioned. I think this time we'll do some New York sports some good, though, because we're in the middle of a rough skid for the Rangers right now. You would probably imagine that the Islanders and the Rangers can kind of turn things around once this break is over for them. What do you project happening for the top of the Metro sans break here?
And I will open up by saying, I would imagine if you're listening to a Rangers podcast, the last thing you'd want to hear is an Islanders guy come in, because, you know, I know a lot of the Isles fans are a bunch of carnies, and, you know, it's just the Rangers can never possibly do well and vice versa for the Islanders. I'm not like that. If you've ever followed my social media or listened to me, I will be overly critical of the Islanders. And when it comes to the Rangers, anything that's worthy of praise, happy to give it. And the way I also explain it, these Rangers teams are not even remotely as hateable as Ranger teams of like yesteryear. You can look up all the moments like Theo Fleury doing the chicken dance, Sandy McCarthy flexing, like they were, or Matthew Barnaby. These were hateable Rangers teams. Who's hateable on the Rangers right now? Very few people. I tend to hate Kreider a little bit, but I really got to try to pull for it. I don't know. It just doesn't naturally exist like it did for those previous players. And then also Henrik Lundqvist was actually like my favorite goalie of this previous generation because of the style he played. I was always extremely impressed by it. Minimal hatred. So hopefully, I mean, I hate plenty of the fans because they're pricks, like the same version of the Islander fans that I hate are the same ones on the Rangers side of the aisle that I hate. But no reason to just put unnecessary kind of shade on the team. Although today I think I am going to say some things that are going to seem like I'm a classic Isles fan, but I promise you it's not because of that.
Well, we got to start with the coach, okay? Right? You have to have adjusted expectations. Obviously, Waugh is a character in and of itself, but it seemed like a sharp turn was needed just from the direction that the Islanders season was taking.
Yeah, I notoriously am a defense first philosophy guy. So when you get rid of somebody like Trotz, to me, it's most likely a mistake. Now, you can argue that getting rid of him was kind of a mutual agreement because it wasn't long after that he declined other coaching jobs and was Nashville's GM. It's almost like it seemed like that was a foregone conclusion. So what did they do? They took his longtime assistant and gave him a shot to take over, hoping that it would be just kind of rolling over the same kind of philosophy team. And Lane Lambert, he came and went, and nobody can truly tell you what his philosophy or what his thoughts were, because he never really said anything and he always looked perplexed from his first day to his last. Nobody still can tell you what kind of style Lane Lambert tried to implement, other than all of a sudden they were looking lazier. They were blowing leads. They weren't paying attention to detail. And that reared its ugly head in the playoffs. They made the playoffs because it was, compared to previous years, a year where, you know, 90 points got you in, so they were able to get in. Blew two leads in the Carolina series, where if you were looking at, you know, Isles teams of yesteryear, unless they were playing Tampa, who is a juggernaut for a couple years, they would never really be actually, Ranger fans don't really want to hear any of this stuff. Anyway, they brought in a coach who's praising bringing back defense and responsibility, and you have to give it time. I mean, this is the middle of the season, so like a lot of the assistant coaches are still there. They're rolling with what they had. They've been a little bit better defensively. It's not just, you know, 4 or 5 goals a game like it was. They haven't been on the right side of the first couple games, but the metrics have been on their side. For the most part, I'm excited. You know, these younger coaches seem to be, in all sports, kind of where you can try to kind of gain a little advantage. The old school coaches are not seemingly doing well in many of these sports.
Has Lou Lamoriello reached his Glenn Sather time where like he's almost despised by Islanders fans yet? Or still got another 5 years before that happens?
There's a line in the sand. Some people praise every last move, and then the people who are against him he's never made a singular correct move his entire tenure. And as always, there's a natural middle ground. And what I always try to tell Islander fans, like, stop being so just like you have your foot dug in the ground on every single issue. When he makes a good move, praise the good move. If there is a poor move, say that was a poor move. Getting rid of Devon Toews, choosing to hold on to Nick Leddy, not doing everything in your ability to keep him was a massive mistake. The assets that they gave up for Bo Horvat ended up being nothing. And Horvat looks like he's going to pop in 30. And as each year goes on in that contract, that number is going to be more and more manageable as the cap goes up. That's going to look like a good move. I mean, praise the good moves and shit on the bad moves. So I'm closer to the good than the bad, because every time there's an issue, how many GMs just sit on their hands and do nothing? People call the Islanders, you know, old, slow, this, that, and the other. What do? They trade for Horvat, a goal scorer. They trade for Engvall, who's one of the fastest guys in the league. You guys remember you had Gauthier. They bring him in. He's one of the fastest guys in the league. So they address the speed, trade for Romanov because there's nobody on the back end trying to plug those holes. So it's like, it's not like he's doing nothing. I think he's done more good than bad during his tenure, especially when you consider what was there before him.
Yeah, people are really quick to point out, I think with Drury and previously Gorton, you know, you can draw a lot of conclusions about some of the returns, you know, like for the Zuccarello trade and JT Miller, Ryan McDonough, things like that. And those same people are kind of really quick to point out the Zibanejads that you're able to flip. And, you know, we kind of live and breathe by like those highs because they're kind of defining our seasons, right? Like we're having success because of the moves that we've made. But there's always the what if. There's always the people that, you know, kind of hate on Drury for trading a first and, you know, for a guy like Tarasenko and then doubling down and trading for Kane. And then there's people where if you ask them most recently or historically ever, what was your favorite time as a Rangers fan? And some people think that that's bringing Patrick Kane on as a Ranger. So, you know, it's very odd the way that we look at their, you know, their tenure with this organization. I think right now, this break, as I was kind of alluding to before, we really need it. You know, we really need to kind of get out of this funk. I think when we hit back into the season, we have some tickets for the stadium series. I'm looking forward to an Islanders clash, but we haven't really seen that rivalry as intense, you know, as it has been historically. What would you consider right now to be like the Islanders' biggest rivalry right now in the National Hockey League?
You can say like, oh, you know, it's kind of Toronto because of the Tavares thing, or you could try to say Tampa because of the playoff series. You know, as well as I know, if the Islanders and Rangers ever played in the playoffs or something like that, the ceiling of that rivalry beyond destroys every single one. When I see some of these posts out there, it's a disgrace. Whoever was asked on the street, what do you consider the Rangers' biggest rivalry? It's not close. They live amongst each other. They're in the same families. It breaks up schools, groups of friends. Every classroom had Islanders, Ranger fans. You got fights with some of your own best friends in Philadelphia, in New Jersey. Okay, some guy who lives in Tom's River, you know who he sees? A couple Devils fans. Their day isn't interrupted. As an Islander and Ranger fan, there's true hatred. Like, I remember fighting with my friend's dad, like at Thanksgiving. I stopped by their house. That's a true rivalry. I just think it's crazy to try to toss it up to other short-term ones. Yes, the Rangers and Devils, they played in the playoffs. If that was the Islanders and Rangers, it would have been war.
Is that why you truly incited the Santa brawl? I mean, saw the push. The video evidence was there.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it was a staged coup. You hear a lot about that these days, but it was something that, you know, when you're 18, you push your friends all the time. I would push a friend like that in the hallway. I don't know now, actually, but, you know, it was no big deal.
Real close ones you might still push.
Yeah, it really that turned into something crazy, as we've stated many times. Never expected it to kind of blow up into what it did. I mean, of all the things we did growing up, that was the least wild, probably. We went on the ice and pushed each other in Santa outfits. That's it. It was just kind of the trickle down after the fact.
And talk about a good NHL giveaway. Like, they don't do that anymore. You just wear a Santa costume and you get in for free.
Something that I did talk about, because obviously they brought us in there for interviews, and just like any other show, they're going to record you talking for an hour and a half, and they're going to take the exact 4 minutes that they want. But one thing that I mentioned to them, I just think it's worthy of note, is that this was literally months before Facebook was created. Nowhere on the ice, nowhere in the crowd, nowhere do you see anyone doing other than looking and laughing, and even like the melee that's going on the ice. Do you know how weird it would look if that happened today? If there was one Santa push, everybody just look, and it's just so weird. Yeah. And it was truly like one of the last type of, I guess there were a few years on top of that, because it really didn't start until everyone had it on the cameras on their iPhones. But that was the part that was most crazy about it, because in retrospect, you'll never get to enjoy something like that until there's like an apocalypse where all of our electronics go down. Like, unless Y2K was delayed or something like that, and it shows up in a few years.
So what you're saying is we need a nice brawling playoff series to kind of reignite this rivalry here.
I don't know. It's almost depressing to me that you as a Ranger fan have to be shown the depths of where this one can go. Cause I know the current depths of the Ranger. It's laughable.
Yeah, everyone has this like, you know, the last 5 years show me, because basically it's the same way with the Devils. You just said it earlier. Like, we had one playoff series and everybody's quick to tell you that they're our biggest current rivals, which I completely disagree with. But if we're going to frame it that way, you know, you can make the same argument about the Canes or the Tampa Bay, you know, Lightning for that matter, just because of the hard fought battles that we've had. It seems like the fan base needs a little bit of a reminder.
And what's chanted in the stands once a game for decades? Is it Scott Stevens sucks? And it's just like, that's what does it, you know, like familiarity breeds contempt. There's so many people who are friends with each other and stuff. And that's why it always stays ignited, because you have the Islanders in the playoffs and that prick from Barstool showing up to the Nassau Coliseum, making a video. That's because the Islanders hold a special tier. There's not a chance in hell that prick would go to a Prudential or wherever the hell they play and just start taunting the Devils or the Flyers. Or there is another tier reserved for the Islanders and Rangers. I just can't believe. You know what it needs? Nothing, because it's been there. And be careful what you ask for, because if something big happens like that, it's going to be wild. You're going to see things at these stadiums that you're going to wish you didn't, because Islander fans are carnies. Like, they'll... Some of these people, like, you go sit up in the 300. These are supposed to be like my fans. I'm scared of the people up there.
There's a special place in my heart for Philly fans that reserve the right to be the worst fans. But I do agree with you.
I've always said that it's Philly and it's Philly fans and Islander fans are racing to the top. Who can be the biggest dirtbags? Because we are it's just one sport combined with some of the Jets fans. Philly just has it for every sport. I went to a Flyers game. It's like, it seemed like they kind of wanted their team to be down so that they can just go off on bad plays. I don't know how to, it's like they were excited to boo them about things opposed to being up in a game. It was so weird. But yeah.
Maybe they've just been down for too long now. You know, they're not used to this Tortorella wave that they're facing. But did you hear about Carter Hart? Obviously, like, that's obviously going to, probably after the All-Star break, set them down a few notches, and maybe the Pens will sneak into the Metropolitan Division talk.
I think they haven't won a game since that came out and he left the team. What are they, 0-3 or something like that? And I see you're one of the Penguins believers. So why the Penguins of all teams to jump in there? Because you see the names, the 39-year-olds who've been on the team since 2009, haven't delivered for them once in 6-7 years, and didn't... The Penguins and the Caps are the same two teams who haven't won playoff series in 6 years or 5 years or something like that. And the natural trajectory is getting slightly worse and missing the playoffs. That's what both of those teams did. The odds of that reversing the following year and then re-going back up as everybody's getting older and a tick worse, that they're now going to like rediscover something from not 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 10 years ago, it's over. It's over for them.
This is kind of funny coming from an Islanders fan that all we do is tweak Bo Horvat or like, you know, not too much there and we roll with the same team. What you said before, you said Lane Lambert didn't have much of a like play style. Well, wasn't he doing the same as Trotz for a while there? So what is there to change? He didn't really bring too much in, Lou, in that sense. So I just feel like the Islanders are the same sense as the Penguins and the Capitals.
You're talking, all right, who are the Islanders' best players? Barzal, 20s, Horvat, 20s, Dobson, 20s, Sorokin, 20, all their best player. Pelech, Pula, these guys are all, I mean, I know Nelson's older, but he's obviously still one of their best players. You're talking about Malkin, 36, Crosby, 36, Carlson, what is he like, 38, Letang, 30. I mean, this, you're talking about truly old. There's a difference between bringing back the same team every year. That's what the Vegas Golden Knights did. And people were critical of them. They made it to the Stanley Cup. Then they made it to a conference final. And then they missed the playoffs. And they brought the same team back and they were criticized. But the majority of that team, they were not past their prime. It's not like it was this big disaster where they needed to complete overhaul. And they won the Stanley Cup. Pittsburgh, like, they had their Stanley Cups when they were young. They had their Stanley Cups when they were old. That time was already 6 years ago. I'm somebody who doesn't think you should just get rid of players like when they're 30, 32. But when you're going on like 8 years since like playoff success and it's the same core, and I get it, you're tied to the guys who won you all those cups and you keep running them out there. But the odds of this reversing course and going back to the Penguins being like a division leader or something like that, it's delusional at this point. And I wouldn't say it unless it was warranted. Like, I have no hate for Pittsburgh or anything like that. But it's just the trajectory is a clear path down. The odds of it swooping back up as these players are in, you know.
Well, this got to be the last year. Bringing in Kyle Dubas was probably just like tweak the old lineup, see what you got. After this, if they don't make the playoffs, it's got to be rebuild for them.
You can't, though. I mean, you gave those deals to Malkin, Crosby. They're doing what the Capitals are doing. They're saying, hey, we're saying thank you to our veterans for bringing those cups for us, and we're going to give them the Derek Jeter. They're just going to play it out until they're done, and then we'll do a full retool. That's what they decided on, and whatever. I mean, I would trade cups for a couple years of not getting to watch a winner. I mean, Washington only got one, could have had, you know, three, four. And Pittsburgh got three, right?
But it wouldn't be if the standings didn't look the way I'm reading them, because there's literally 1 point separating seventh place and the last spot in this wild card. So, or into at least a wild card spot, that is. So the problem becomes, like, could a team turn it around with 30 games? I mean, it's not that crazy to bet on the Penguins, at least over the Capitals and the Devils. And now you're like in kind of a pick'em between the Islanders and the Penguins. I mean, I agree with you.
We're in the same exact position as we were last year.
Yep.
And I'm not telling you this because I'm rooting for the Islanders. I'm telling you this because there has been no sustained period of play where the Pittsburgh Penguins have played an impressive brand of hockey. They throw caution to the wind on defense. They're getting the best goaltending they've ever gotten from Tristan Jarry this year, ever. And they're still in this position. And their power play, no coincidence that them and the Capitals power plays, who were perennial top five power plays, now those same group of people can't find the openings, can't find the back of the net, or bottom five power plays. How is that possible with the same players? And it's because some of those players, and I'm not even talking about Crosby. Crosby is as unbelievable as ever. But, you know, as a whole, like Malkin, clearly not. You know, maybe you guys saw him in the playoffs here. Like, he's so enigmatic. And as he gets older, it's just less likely that he's going to be a dominant player out there. And then they just start to become somewhat detriments. I just don't see them sustaining. It's been years now before we saw them sustain. I mean, also say out loud, and this is my bad news for the Rangers fans, the odds of having a core that you rely on to carry the load and an 82 game season, getting the best hockey out of them in the final 30 games, playing all that. You can talk to NHLers about how long a season is and what it's like getting through it. The odds of getting Panarin's best after just hammering him with all these minutes in games 75, it's just unlikely. It can happen, I suppose, but it's unlikely. And it's why I think, from what I heard, you're a betting guy. I have just been singing. I've just been anybody who will listen to take Carolina to win the division at plus money. I mean, I've just been screaming. You're talking about an entire prime of guys who are in their mid-20s played their worst hockey of the year early, and they're just steamrolling now. And it's still at plus money today. Now it's close to even. It's like plus 110. If the Rangers beat them for the division, I will be beyond thoroughly shocked. Truly.
I think for what it's worth, I agree with you about the Hurricanes. I don't know if I agree about Panarin. I think we're talking about different guys when we talk about the Penguins core and Panarin, because the way that he's been playing this season, at least to me, feels like it's going to be sustainable, at least to 100 points plus and a better playoff performance than we've seen out of him in previous
Agreed.
Seasons. But
Agreed.
That bar is also kind of hysterically low, if we're being honest. I do think, again, looking at the standings to my left here, that it's the same four teams. I think it's the Flyers and the Islanders that are going to be the third and the fourth spot, it looks like. And the Hurricanes taking the Rangers also sounds kind of like what would happen.
I do. I think Carolina's paid their dues. I would imagine that the reason they're not going to get a goalie is because Anderson will be back at some point. That's what they said. But they went and they added even more defensemen to their core of defensemen already. And it's taken like half of a season to get them ingratiated into the squad, like the Orlovs and whatnot. But Svechnikov coming off that ACL seems to be approaching full strength. They're kind of the big knock on them was that they tried so hard during the year and they would dominate and then get the top seed. And then they would kind of gas out in the playoffs. Well, this year they had the awful start and now they've turned it on. And I think making it to the conference final was a step in the right direction after that year losing to the Rangers. I would absolutely favor them. If you're going to, I believe they'll win the division. They're going to have home ice, the Rangers, weirdly enough, they give them big problems. So we'll see if the Rangers would be able to take them out again. But if I had to take a favor coming out of the East, it would probably be them. And don't undersell a very motivated Boston team after what happened to them last year.
Well, Boston's weird because I feel like even, you know, a lot can be made of the season that they've had last year, but and obviously the first round exit, but nobody had them even being like a good team, let alone the best team. So for them to still do that after losing that the guys that they've lost and still be, you know, a big problem, it comes down to goaltending, it comes down to defense. They can, you know, grind you down to those 3-2 losses. It seems like every single time they get into hot water, they can pull out one of those really low scoring battles.
And by the way, what kind of games are the playoffs?
I mean, I see your point. I do have a question about that team in those late playoff pushes at the moment, but I don't think you can really blame me. There's a lot that can be made of who they lost. And I mean, that group is resilient as anybody. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a big issue keeping that system around long term. And I think that they're probably due for a rebuild in the next few years as well, but they're making a hell of a lot more of an interesting conversation than other teams.
Yeah. And when it comes time for those playoff games that are all going to be high intensity and teams like Toronto are trying to just finesse their way through it for the 50th straight year and it doesn't work for the 50th straight year, and teams like the Bostons and the Vegases who are willing to play whatever style needs to be played and are happy to make every game 2-1. They're well-conditioned. They've been playing those games all year. Then you get Toronto, who is trying to finesse their way, and then they go, oh, wow, well, that's kind of different game now. Penalties let go, they get let go a little more. The chances and the margins of error razor thin. They try to alter their game come playoffs, and it just doesn't work like that. But you have teams who have been playing that way the whole time, and it's no big problem for them. The Florida Panthers did it last year. They went on an amazing run. And like I said about those razor-thin margins, Marchand scores that breakaway, the series is over. The series is over 4-1 in game 5, and that's basically it. But he makes the save. Crazy ending to the series. Also, you know, Ullmark's trying to play through that injury. I think losing a couple of those forwards for Boston, it simplifies things for them. They're not going to try to outgun teams 6-5. That's just not in their DNA. They know who they are now. They know how they have to win. And I think they're going to be a real handful to deal with this time around. Just be happy we're not up there in that Atlantic division, because I would not want to play them after what happened last year.
It's funny you say that, because you look at the Metropolitan, everybody's like kind of on a little bit of a losing streak. And then you look at the Atlantic and it's like 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, like it's kind of switched how it was from the beginning of the season to where it is now.
And then you also can take a team like Florida. They were the President's Trophy winner 2 years ago. The cardiac cats, they come back all the time. Oh, you don't want to deal with those offense. I was just laughing, and these were the first videos I made for that channel that hired me. I go, wait till they play the Lightning. The Lightning disposed of them, and every time the Lightning got a lead, they never gave it up. Swept them. Four games, gone. The cardiac cats, most goals in the history of the NHL. Nobody can stop their offense because it doesn't work. Then they bring in a different coach who implements a new system. And now it's not easy to play these Canes. They're not these Panthers. They're not scoring as much, but they have a brand that coincidentally can get you from the 8 seed and get to a Stanley Cup. And now an additional year under Maurice, and you're seeing them like actually ascend. Now they're going to be, you know, 3rd seed, 2nd seed, at home ice in the first round. And they're a nightmare to play against. They're a nightmare when they're on their game to try to beat, because Bobrovsky's playing pretty well and their team defense is pretty nasty. And I would much rather play that cardiac cats President's Trophy winner, because those are so easy to upset opposed to teams like this who grind you out and make you earn every inch for sure. But then again, that's just me.
Well, Andy, thanks for taking the time with us and chatting.
All right, no problem. If you want, you can go to my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/AndyFrancis. Very easy. A-N-D-Y, then like the country France, and 2 S's. That's where I have my daily hockey videos. Sometimes I'll post a comedy podcast there when I have time. But, you know, if you want my hockey takes and whatnot, you can get them on a daily basis over there. They come with like sports betting picks. But as I was telling the guys before, it's more so me just talking about hockey and then what I think about that game. Ultimately trickles down to a few picks about that game. So,
well, and I'll tell you what, there's also some really handy tips as far as the betting is concerned. I really like the way you break it down for somebody who's a new player. The pump it up on the unders, you know, if you're going to bet 6, you might as well bet 6.5. They're just trying to take your money. So go ahead and check out Andy's advice on the betting channel there. And dude, thanks again for chatting hockey with us.
Later.